and that was through my experience of what I went through and my week of being sick. But I had talked to you prior to that week, and I told you that I wanted to start and deal with a series entitled Living a Life of Order. And there are about six different areas I want to deal with. I'm going to deal with parenting and marriage and singlehood and your spiritual life and your physical life and also your financial life. And so I think that's where I want to drop my hat on today. We're going to deal with a little bit. I'm going to set a foundation and hopefully I can get through even that financial portion of it. But I want to talk to you about living a life of order. Somebody say order.
Order.
If you have your Bibles, your iPads, or whatever medium you have, I want you to go to John 10 and 10 and then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. And most of you know John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy." So we know that the devil is up to no good. His intentions are always evil against us. But notice now, after that semicolon or that colon, he says, "I am come that they might have life." Who's this talking?
Jesus.
Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life." The thief is coming to destroy your life, but I'm coming that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Not just life, not just making it. And, you know, I got this grind going on and I got my grind and I'm doing my thing. You know, I'm trying to keep it down. I'm trying to hold it together. He says, no. I didn't come for you to live just like that. I came that you would have life and that more abundantly. Now, New Living Translation says this: "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and to destroy." He says, "But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Can I say that again? He says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." So if we don't have a satisfying life, then we are not living the abundant life that Jesus has promised to us. Okay? Now, if you go to the Amplified Version, says this: "The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." God. Now, I want to ask you something. Are you living that kind of life? I mean, living life till its fullest. Life is just overflowing. You are living a satisfied life. And if you are not living that kind of life, then we are not living according to what has been promised to us. If Jesus said it in his word, then we can appropriate that word for our life. This is a promise that Jesus said. And for most of you, if you have your Bibles, it's in red. That means Jesus is speaking, not the apostles. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I came that you might have life." And if you look up that Greek word, if you look up that word life, in the Greek it means Zoe. Zoe, Z-O-E, Zoe. And what does it mean? The absolute fullness of life. Here we go again with that fullness of life. Both essential and ethical. Essential. He says, "I come that you would live that absolute fullness of life." Both essential. The essentials of the things that you need to sustain you in life. And he says, "I want you to be full of the essentials of life. I don't just want you to have a crumb of bread. I want you to have the whole loaf. I want you to have the fullness of everything that's essential for you to live." Can I tell you this? God doesn't just want his people to get by. Oh, see, I'm going to help somebody today. And I'm not talking about everybody's going to be rich and you're going to get a million. I'm not talking about, But there is a life that when we come into the kingdom, that we are supposed to live a full life, not just barely making it. I'm going to work this a little bit. The absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical. Ethical, what is right? What is correct? The life that's blessed by God. This is the abundant life. This is the life. The life that's blessed by God. The real and genuine life devoted to God. This is the life that he wants you to live, and myself included. Now, he says, I came that you might have that kind of life. Okay. Then he says, this kind of life, I want you to experience it in an abundant way. God, this is heavy. Because when I look at this, it says most of us are living beneath that privilege. He has given us the privilege to live this life, and we are not living it. And it can't be because of him, because he said, I came. Now, he said, I came that you might have life. That was 2,000 years ago. He has came, and now he's gone. But he gave us the promise. So he said, I came that you might have life, which means now all you have to do is appropriate that life. The word abundance in the Greek means the following: over and above, more than is necessary, God. How many of you want to live in a place where you have more than what is actually necessary? Exceedingly more. Abundant means to have more or much more than all. Superior, extraordinary, more excellent. And here's one that really got me, man. My toes kind of crawled in my shoes. Abundance means advantage. He says, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. One of the words, one of the meanings for abundantly is advantage. To have an advantage. He said, I came to give you an advantage. Jesus. Look at somebody and say, favor ain't fair. I came to give you an advantage. So when people say, how do you get there? And I didn't. Because I got an advantage. I'm living the Zoe kind of life. I'm living the abundant life. And understand about advantage. Your name, who your name is tied to, can give you an advantage. Oh, you're going to get that in a minute. What family you are born in can give you an advantage. Come on, come on. Come on, I'm just using this as an example, but if your last name happens to be Kennedy and you're part of the Kennedy family, guess what? You got an advantage whether you like them or not. You know, that's old money that has been passed down the line. So if you happen to be born in that family, you're an instant millionaire. Not because of you, but because of who you are tied to. Now, somewhere I think we are heirs of God and joint heirs with who? With Christ Jesus, which means he's our king. And if he has the cattle on 1,000 hills and he doesn't eat the beef, guess what? Somebody going to get this in a minute. So he has given us an advantage. So he says, I came that you might have life and that you might have an advantage in this world. No, I'm supposed to have that. Yes, I'm blessed and highly favored. Why? Because my daddy has given me an advantage. I'm not walking around in arrogance. Don't get it twisted now. I'm humble, but I'm where I'm supposed to be because of who my daddy is. You don't apologize if your parents happen to be wealthy. I make no apologies for that. I was born into this. So guess what? You've been born into this if you are born again. So I have an advantage. So somebody say, this kind of life. Yeah. Living a Zoe kind of life, let me tell you now, it requires order. It requires order. He wants you to have things flowing in your life. He wants you to live the abundant, absolute fullness until it overflows kind of life. Yes, he does. But this requires order. And although the abundant life is available to every believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't walk in it until you first have order in your life. Somebody say order. See, that's where it's going to get a little sticky now. Because, you know, everybody's walking with me now. You know, yeah, I'm in the abundance, you know. I'm looking for God to give me the overflow. Now I said order. And some of you like, oh, order. Yeah, somebody say, what's that? I don't have a clue what order is. Now, for people who have been in the military, we understand order real well. You know, how many people been in the military? Let me think. I want you to stand. Stand if you've been in the military. Sergeant. Now, if I say the tent hut, what does that mean to you? Sap to attention. That's an order, isn't it? We understand order. You know, so if you meandering around and they say it's tent hut, you already know. That's order. We understand order. Even if we didn't like it, we understand it. Even if you didn't want to do it, you did it because you understood order. And some things would not happen if you didn't fall in order or follow the orders. And here's what I want to get to you. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's look at verse 40. Now this is the life that God wants us to live. And it is available to us. He wants you to live that life. And the word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in. Okay, let me read that one more time. Let all things, not most things, not some things, because sometimes we have order in this, that, and that department, but this is all jacked up. Now, he didn't say, let some things be done decently and in order. Let most of the things in your life be done decently and in order. He didn't say that, did he? He said, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, if I put that text in context, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church about gifts. And everybody was standing up and speaking in tongues, and all everybody was interpreting. And I mean, it was confusion in there. So Paul took the time to say, let all things be done decently and in order. But that text is also applicable to your life. That all things in your life, every area of your life, he wants it done decently and in order. You shouldn't have one area of your life in order and then another area of your life out of order. That's not God. Because God is a God of order. So he says, let all things be done decently. The word decently suggests good manners, honesty, and decorum. You know, decorum means correct or appropriate behavior. You know, so when you go out or you know, when you're dealing in business, there should be a decorum, how you carry yourself, how you behave yourself. You know, when I was growing up in the South, you know, and you're eating at the table and you put your elbow on the table. My mother used to say, get your elbow off the table. You don't. That's not correct. That's not proper. Elbows off the table. You're not going to sleep. My mother was a stickler for things like that. Decently. And then in order, God's order, let me tell you this, God's order is when everything is in its proper place and functioning according to its design purpose. Can I say that again? God's order is when everything is in its proper place and functioning according to his design purpose. God has a purpose for all of our lives. And he wants everything in proper place so that the purpose that he designed for your life will flow according to the purpose that he's put in your life. He wants it to flow. And you can't flow properly if you don't have proper order. Order also means to be in a state of proper arrangement, preparation, or readiness. Everything is in its proper place at its proper time. So that when you are ready to move out and God needs to use you, you don't have to get in order. You already have things in order. It's another thing about the military. You know, before you deployed, you always had your gear in order. So whenever they called on you, you didn't have to get it in order. It was already in order. Everything was packed. And so when you came out of the field and you came back, guess what? You had to clean up your M16 and you have to get all of your gear together and repack it so that it's ready so that if they call you again, you already have everything in order. See, some of you right now, you're getting off the train right now because you don't like picking up behind yourself. If God was to call you just like that, you say, hold up, Lord, let me get all of this in order. I've got to get this. Oh, you need me to go where? Oh, where did I put that at? Oh, Lord, Lord, did you see my? Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody right now. You know, so hopefully this is going to help you get some kind of order in your life. But that means everything is in its proper order. Now, you want God to bless you, but you don't have no order. And this is what I want to tell you. As much as most of us want the blessing of the Lord and desire to live the abundant life that Jesus promised we could live, you have to ask yourself, are you ready for the abundant life? Is your life in order? Now, we want the overflow, but are you ready for it? I got one hallelujah, a half an amen. You know, because you want the life, but do you have the order to allow you to receive that kind of life? Because there again, God is a God of order. Okay, I can show you something. Before he created Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden, you know Eden means a place of pleasure? Before he created Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden, he first brought order in the earth. Which means God did not put Adam in the place of pleasure before he brought order. And most of you know that old adage, work before pleasure. So God worked before he put that man in the place of pleasure. He brought order. And this is the pattern for all of us to follow. If you want God to bless your life, you must bring order in your life. Then you can enjoy the Zoe kind of life. Now, I want you to see something. Go to Genesis chapter 1. I want you to see that. So before he ever placed him in the garden, the place of pleasure, he had order. And most of us, we want to enjoy that abundant kind of life. We want that pleasure in our life. But what about the order? God does not skip over order. That's like blessing your kids when their life is all jacked up. And they come to you and say, Dad, can I have the keys to the car? Boy, you smoking weed. I ain't giving you my keys. What that got to do with anything, Dad? Oh, come on. Can I get some help? You got this kind of gentleman. What that got to do with anything, Dad? They legalized it. They can legalize all they want, but you ain't getting behind because you ain't got no order. I'm just telling you about the book. I'm just going by the book now. I don't care what they legalize out there. I'm going to go by the book. Well, Dad, I ain't going to smoke it while I got your car. How I know that? Bible says you know them by the fruit that they bear. Now, go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at this there. Here's the pattern. Because if God does this, and this is a pattern, then if we follow this pattern, it stands to reason that maybe we're going to get that blessing. And we can begin to walk in that Zoe kind of life. Because if you go back to Romans chapter 2, it says that God is no respecter of person. Which means that if he did it for one, he'll do it for another. So if one is walking in the fullness of that kind of life, and you are not, maybe they're walking in a place of order and you are not. Because God is no respecter of person. He's not going to bless them and not bless you, and you do the same thing. Oh, that's not the way God works. Okay, so Genesis chapter 1. It says here, and most of you know that, 1 and 1. In the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? Check this out, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. Okay, got a problem. Somebody said there's a problem. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is translated, the earth was in a chaotic, empty state. In other words, it was out of order. He said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face. Whenever you see darkness, darkness does not represent, in the Bible, it does not represent righteousness. It represents wrong and sin and evil. Okay? So he said, the earth was dark, and it was without, and it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, here's what God did. Okay, we got a chaotic, empty state. Earth is out of order. Here's what God did. Latter part of that verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What did it say? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In other words, the Spirit of God breathed his breath. Because remember now, whenever God breathes, whenever the word goes forth, creative power leaves his mouth. And then the Bible said in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was. Remember now, there's darkness. It's out of order. And God says, I got to bring order, so the first thing they need is light. It's the reason why people like to do things when the lights go off. Oh, come up high in there. Come on, come on. But that's true, too, you know. You know, and crime is being committed in the darkness. And the first thing God said, this is out of order. We need some light around here. So he said, let there be light, and light came forth. Verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now God is working in this chaotic state. This out of order, he's bringing things in order. Verse 5 says, and God called the light day, and darkness he called night, and the even and the morning were the first day. Okay, first day, here's God working. Because remember now, earth is out of order, and God is working. Look at the second day, verse 6. God separated the vapors above, meaning the clouds, and the waters below, meaning the earth and the rivers. And verse 9, third day, God separated the sea and the land and caused plant life to appear on dry land. Okay? Fourth day, God created the sun, moon, stars. God's working now, isn't he? Everything's out of order, but look what God is doing. He's bringing order to a chaotic state. Fifth day, God created the animals and the fish of the sea. That's verse 20. And now, somebody say now, that he created everything. He's brought order. Everything that this man would need, God has already put in place. Now, verse 26, sixth day, God created man. Notice that now. Man does not come until God brings order in the land. Man does not experience the place of pleasure, the Garden of Eden, until God brings order and puts everything in its proper place. Understand, before God created Adam, he first brought order to the earth. God created everything Adam would need to live an abundant life. Everything that Adam needed, God created before he came. Here's a side note now. Before Eve was brought forth, Adam had everything in order in his life. Bite on that one. Before Eve came, I'm going to help you out because I don't think you got it yet. Adam had everything in order in his life. It is not the woman's job to bring order in the life of the man. You are not his mama. Stop trying to bring order. I got to help my boo. No, you ain't got to help your boo. Boo need to help himself. It's not your responsibility to get his life in order. The man gets his life in order by following God's word. It's always, the man will always have order in his life when he follows the word of God. That is not your responsibility. And unfortunately, I'm seeing too many women trying to help boo out. And you working for Boo, and Boo going to get a job next month. And, you know, Boo's going to get up off of that couch, and Boo's going to get himself together. I got my Boo. You ain't got nothing. Out of order. And, hey, I'm for the brothers. I'm a brother. But order is right. Before Adam came on the scene, God brought order. And before God would allow Adam to take that woman out of his side, before God took it out from his side from Adam, Adam already had everything in order. He was already. And notice now, if you go back to Genesis, he said, and he told him, he said, till the land, work in the garden. Can I tell you something else on the side? I'm going to get y'all singles, you know, probably next week or so. But I'm going to tell you something else on the side. He was already working. I'm not getting with y'all that I don't understand this thing. That how you going to go out and work, put your fine self together, put on your weave and come on, put on your mascara, got your nails and your pedicure. You walking like you know you got it going on, girlfriend. And then he's sitting at home in your house, eating your food. You paying every bill and you say you got a man. You ain't got no man. That's a kid. Because my father told me a man gets up and works. He don't stay in the house and let you go. Unfortunately, chivalry is dead. I can open the door for myself. No, let him open the door. We know you're capable, but you need to step back and say, are you going to do something? And if he don't open the door, mark you off the list. Wait in the car until he comes around. If he don't get the email, knock him off the list too. You make it too easy. I'm just saying. That's just on the side this Sunday. But that ain't. And you're seeing it so much. And sometimes, daughter, I want to just smack you and say, wake up, what are you doing? I don't understand that. And if you let him do it, he going to keep doing it. You going to give me the milk for free? Why am I going to pay for the cow? I got a free one right here. And don't give me this desperation stuff. God knows what you need. And he never told you to compromise. Desperation sets in when you take your eyes off of God and you say, you know what? I don't know if it's going to ever happen. Well, if you trust God for everything else, you prayed to God and God healed your body. You prayed to God and gave you a financial break. Now you won't trust him to bring you the type person that you know that you're worthy of. And we're up here believing God for everything else. And when it's time for a partner, we come all the way down here. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Is he saved? Well, he say he's saved. I think he is. He's real nice. Nice ain't saved. And nice will turn on you. Can I tell y'all something? Men know how to run game. We are pursuers. We are hunters by nature. We will track you down. We will put the gift together. We will wine and dine you until. And then you wake up 6 months later. He changed. No, he didn't. That was him all the time. He was just trying to get what he wanted. And once you gave it, go on to the next predator. Next prey. Oh, here I am. I'm over here. Come see about me. And there's an aroma that you give off. I need somebody.
And I'm tired of waiting, and I'm willing to just do what I need to do and accept that and lower my standards because pastor don't understand, you know, because he goes home with co-pastor and he's got his thing, but I don't have nothing in my bed and I need something beside me. And it's cold in the wintertime and I'm tired of rolling over on my own pillow and I don't have anybody to hug me and roll me and correct. As comical as that is, somebody know I'm telling the truth. And the real church need to say amen.
Amen.
And the moment you give in to that spirit, you don't get an Isaac, you get an Ishmael. God, what in the world did I get into? And you all in love the first 6 months. And after that, romance is over. And you wish you could mail them home and now you done compromised and what's all this living together stuff? Holy Ghost, this ain't my that ain't in my notes. But what's all this living together? Everybody's living together now. Can somebody help me out? Just show me what I said in the word. We can. You're not supposed to do that. I'm just trying to help you out, sisters. If you let him, he'll do it. He'll do it. Because he ain't going to put the brakes on. I'm going to just tell you, if you let him go, he'll take you all the way out there. You know what the old songwriter said? I'll take you there. Come on. He'll take you there. And you the church girl. He sent back. Go ahead and worship. Come on back. I'm going to worship with you too. Go on and worship. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Because you have given everything. And this is it. This is it. Okay. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. I'm coming back to you maybe next week or the week after. Maybe next week now because I'm on a roll on that. And that's not a part of my notes. But where was I at? Just going back to a man. A man will always have order in his life when he follows the word of God. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, order always precedes the blessings of God. Understand that. So, when you know better, but you don't do better, you actually hinder what God wants to do through you and to give to you. Okay? So there's been a tremendous amount of prophetic word that's been spoken over this house and over some of our lives. We know that. But God wants you to know that you have to do first things first. Somebody say first things first. Okay. So we want to get our life in order. And I told you we're going to deal with all of that. We're going to deal with all of that. Okay. Now, if I can just hit a couple of these, I'm not going to be able to hit them all today. But I just want to deal with just a couple of these. Let me deal with the financial matter first. Let me deal with the financial matter first. Okay. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's look at and we're going to look at probably get there first. We're going to go to look at chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes and let's look at chapter 7 first. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 12. Just a quick verse there. It says, for wisdom
this out here, and we'll be ready. It says, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Somebody say, wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Okay? Now, if you look at the Amplified says it like this. It says, for wisdom is a protection, even as money is a protection. Okay? Now, look at chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes and look at verse 19. It says here, a feast is made for laughter and wine makes merry, but money answers all things. Okay? Now, Amplified, I love this. The officials make a feast for enjoyment instead of repairing what is broken, and serve wine to make life merry. And money is the answer to everything. So when he says back in the King James Version, says, but money answers all things, it's we understand that money can't fix everything. We understand that. But what I do want to say is, money can fix a whole lot of our problems that we have right now. Come on, somebody. Because a lot of us stood and we said, I need financial. And that's just not in this church. Or this is around the world, period. That there's a known fact that, you know, people are struggling when it comes to that whole money issue. So what he's saying there in the Amplified, it really brings it out, that money is the answer. Money is the answer to everything that they need at that time. So money is a defense. It protects us. So I think if we're really going to be honest, we need to get our financial house in order. As much as we want the breakthrough, and we prayed and we'll believe in God, but before blessings can proceed in your life, I've already gave you that pattern that there must be order. God is just not going to bless you and you don't have order in your life in the financial area. Okay? We see this. If you go to Matthew chapter 25, flip your hands over there quickly. And I'm going to lay a little foundation here for this financially, and I won't get through all of this. I'll pick some of this up next week, and I may even deal with some of the single stuff too. But Matthew chapter 25, if you look at verse 14, it's actually verse 14 to verse 30. I'm not going to read it all, but Jesus is given a parable, and he says, if you look at it, and I'm going to be reading from the New, is that the New Living? Yeah, I'm going to be reading from the New, let's read from the New Living. It said this, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in a proportion to their ability. He then left on the trip. Now, the Message Bible said he gave $5,000 to one, he gave $2,000 to another, and he gave $1,000 to the third servant. Okay? The servants who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. So you can say the one that received $5,000, they earned $5,000 more, and then they got $10,000. The servant with the 2 bags of the $2,000 also went to work and earned two more thousand. So he now has $4,000. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. He's the one with the $1,000, okay? And then the Bible lets us know that after a long time, the master returned from his trip, called them to give an account of how they had used his money. Get that? How they had used his money. Because I want to say this quickly, and then I go back to this, that everything that comes into our hand is not ours. Even the money. I know you work, and I know you've got a great job, and you got a great income, but at the end of the day, if you understand kingdom principles, everything belongs to God. And some of you are having a hard time even receiving that revelation that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. If you are a human being on this earth, you belong to the Lord. Every one of us. Now, when you are born again, you now become a part of the kingdom of God. So you understand that the king owns everything. So the king has a right to tell you how to distribute things. And he simply says to you, now, everything belongs to me, and I want you to govern it according to my wishes. So that's what this parable was about. It was about the king or the master telling the servants, this is what I want you to do with the funds that I'm giving you. Two men did the right thing. They managed, they became good stewards over what was entrusted. They were such good stewards until they made the master more. They doubled their money. The last servant, which was the third servant, he took the 1,000 and he buried it. Now, he didn't lose the money, but he didn't gain anything. And I wondered, I said, what's the problem? Because Jesus said, you slothful and wicked servant. He said, you didn't do anything with the gift that I gave you. You just laid around and didn't do nothing. You didn't manage it properly. Now, what does God do? He takes that $1,000 from that servant and gives it to the other servants that did something that managed properly. Oh, boy, I'm going somewhere. So, I've got to ask you a question. If I ask you, do you need more money? The majority of you would say yes. Somebody say yes. And while I believe we could use more money to settle some of our debts and give you a better quality of life, I want to challenge you to first take a hard look at how you are handling the money you are receiving right now. Because everybody wants more. I want more. God, give me more. Pour it down on me. But how are you handling what's in your hand right now? In other words, what are you doing with the money you receive, whether it's every week, every 2 weeks, or every month? What are you doing? Because here's what you need to know. God does not increase people financially who mishandle his money. I'm going to get an amen in a minute. So sometimes we just need to be honest with ourselves. Take a hard look in the mirror and say, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. Because sometimes lack in because of God, sometimes it's because of us. And I can't see. See, I'm walking strong now. And see, heads are dropping and the amens are getting real low now. Because nobody told you to go there and buy that. Come on, somebody. You know, I know it sounded good online, but nobody told you to push that button. You pushed enter. You gave your credit card number. Oh, I ain't getting no help. And then 6 months later, you're like, what's going on? Okay. So the reason why, if we're going to be honest, I don't have enough money to meet my financial obligations each month is because I've mismanaged the money. And, you know, I know that's a strong statement and, you know, I'm not trying to come down on you, but I'm trying to bring some reality and hopefully challenge you to bring some order. But statistics confirm this, what I'm saying. In fact, one study I read conducted by Pew Charitable Trust stated that a new poll found that 55% of American households say they break even or spend more money than they make each month, and a third have no savings. Somebody say, that's not good. Now, according to an MSNBC poll, where 3,000 Americans took a survey, out of which half of them said they were spending more than they earned at least a few months each year. That was just 3,000 people. Imagine. The poll went on to say that those who were spending more than they earned, 36% were dipping into their savings, 22% were using a credit card, and 8% were borrowing money in other ways. I don't even want to entertain my money in other ways. You know, I'm amazed at some people, how they can come up with how they can get money. I mean, people can just get money in some odd ways that I've never, ever imagined. So I'm not even going to entertain this. But what this suggests is they are buying things they can't afford, driving cars they can't afford, buying clothes they can't afford, living in houses they can't afford, homeowner or renter, and going on vacations they can't afford. Somebody say this all adds up to financial mismanagement of resources. Now, I got to ask you another question. If you were searching for a financial manager to manage your money, and he or she managed money like you manage your own money, would you hire him or her? Some of you were honest enough to say, absolutely not. Oh, no, no. The way I do things, no, no. See, if you know you're not managing properly, then how can we expect that God is going to increase us who's wiser than any financial portfolio manager you would ever hire? So what that means is, it's not that God doesn't want to bless us. We got to get some order in the area of our finance. Let me give you these last two things, and then I'm going to close it out because we're getting late. Understand, God does not increase you financially based solely on your financial need. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says, and God shall supply all of your needs. But it's just not based solely on your financial need, but also on your financial stewardship. And we see this in the scriptures when I read. Because God said that third servant, he said he didn't handle the money that was entrusted into his hand or the gift. So he says, take that from him and give it to somebody else. So it's just not your need. It's also how you are managing. Okay, I'll give you an example. Okay, if you had two kids and you both gave $10 and you said, guys, this is what I want you to do. I want you to spend a little and I want you to save a little. Okay. Now, one kid spends $9, maybe saves a dollar, if that. Then you got another kid, spends $5 and saves the other $5. Who do you think managed the best? Who are you probably going to trust a little bit more? But some people, well, you know, he did save you something. Well, remember that the guy that had the $1,000, he did save you something. He saved that $1,000. But he didn't make anything. So all I'm trying to get you to understand is that God is wise enough to know when you are ready for the increase. Because if you see, God gauges how he's going to bless you based on what you do with the little that's in your hand now. Because you say, when I get more, I'm going to do better. No, God said, no. I want to see what you do with the little. Because I'm not going to give you more if you don't do good with the little. Come on. Because the way you handle the little is an indication of how you're going to handle the much. It doesn't work the other way. So, look at somebody and say, set your house in order. Okay. I'm going to give you this one and then we're going to quit. Okay. This is the first thing, and you're not going to like it, but I'm going to give it to you. Because this is what the Holy Ghost told me to give you. Okay. If you're going to have financial order in your life and you want God to begin to bless you and increase you, here's the first thing you got to do. Look at somebody. Don't be intimidated and say, tithe. Boy, that's a bad word. That's a bad word. It's a bad word. What I want to tell you is, you have to stop robbing God. I'm telling you that. Because here's what you got to understand. I'm not preaching this to try to get your money. I am trying to tell you what biblical principles look like. And they do work. They do work. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme, or if you tithe today, you know, you're going to be blessed abundantly tomorrow. It doesn't work like that. But when you obey God and you worship God, what you're saying is, God, I trust you that you are my source and that I'm going to live on an open heaven and you are going to take care of me. But when you don't, what you're saying is, God, I can take care of myself better than you can take care of me because I don't really trust you with this tenth. So I'm going to keep the whole 100 because I don't trust you with the tenth. And God says, how can I increase you when you keep taking the $10 from the 100 that you get every month? You steal from me. Now, I want to ask you something. If somebody was stealing from you, would you give them more? Oh, and I can't get no help. See, I'm just being practical now. Because he says back in Malachi, will a man rob God? Now, you let somebody rob you, and then they come back and say, can I get some more? I ain't even going to tell you how you're going to react. He said, you can bring your hand over here if you want to. I'm going to give you some. It ain't going to be money, though. You follow me? Now, here's what Leviticus 27, chapter 27, verse 30 says this. And all the tithe of the Lord, whether it's of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. Somebody say, is the Lord.
Is the Lord.
Do you get that? It is the Lord's, not yours, not mine. It is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The order, if we're going to be blessed financially, is we cannot rob our sowers. You don't rob from your sowers. Elder, could you come in quickly? I just want to use you right quick. Okay. Just stand face to people. Okay. He is God. He is my sowers. He has told me, my God has told me, Archie, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to bless your life. So everything that you get in, I want you to give me the first of it. I want you to give me the tenth part. That means out of every $100, I want you to give me $10. The 90, I'll give you the wisdom how to manage that. But the 10th is always mine. I don't ever want you to touch that because I want you to know that I'm your source. And as long as you give that to me, it lets me know that you are trusting me that I am your source. I don't need your money. I just want you to know that I am your source. It is not the world that's taking care of you. I will. Archie, if you lose your job, I still want you to know I'm your source. I will raise up another employee to bless your life. Come on, somebody. I just want you to know that I'm your source. So when you do that, by faith, there's obedience, there's faith, and there's worship in all of that that I do. It's nothing. See, the way you see it is, you equate, it is just money. It's not money. It is a worship unto God. It is holy unto God. It is how he does ministry in the earth realm. He uses his people. Now, the world may tithe, but they're not obligated to tithe. They're not believers. They're not in the kingdom. But we are. So we have to trust God and to release that. Could it be that your blessing is being held up over $10? Let's put this in perspective. If I put $100 in your hand and I said, all you have to do is give me 10. You keep the 90. And I'm going to do that every month. Would you have a problem with that? I'm going to give you 90. You keep the 10. Just give me the 10 and you keep the 90. Every month, this is what I'm going to do. And if you run low, I'm going to give you another source and I'll make sure you get it. I'm going to always take care of you as long as you give me that 10. Most of you wouldn't have a problem. You wouldn't even blink. Yes, that's a good deal. 90, and you get 10, and I get 90. That's a good deal. That's a good investment. But yet, what do? We rob God. We rob God. We rob him. And I hear somebody saying, but Pastor, and I'm closing on this, Pastor, I desire to tithe. But you don't understand, Pastor. I just can't afford to do it. It's not that I don't want to, Pastor. I can't afford it. And my question would be back to you now. Why can't you afford it? We're going to close on this. You know why? Because we fail to budget the tithe. Let me go deeper. We do not make him a priority in our life. So here's what we do. He's supposed to be our source. He's our king, but we pay. I'm just hypothetically now. Don't get angry at me. But hypothetically, you know, we pay our mortgage, we pay our rent, we pay our utilities. Some of y'all do. We pay our utilities, we pay our food, we got our gas. Oh, I got to get to work, so I got, you know, the metro and bus fare and train fare, and we got all of that. And then cell phone, that's right, we can't forget that cell phone. I mean, you be broke as I don't know what, but you got that cell phone. Okay, so we pay all of that. Now we say, whatever I got left over, that's my tithe. That ain't a tithe, that's a tip. That's an insult. So no, you cannot afford. And then what we do on top of that, we go out, take the credit card, and we charge. Now that's more money coming out of the budget, and we do not tithe, and there's a vicious cycle that's going on, and we can't get out, and we're frustrated, angry, and upset, and we're saying, God, why don't you help me? And he's saying, I will if you give me what's holy. And we want God to break all rules because we come in and worship, but we're robbing when we leave. And we don't want to talk about money. Pastor, you talk about healing, you talk about the prophetic ministry, but the moment you talk about money, the devil is a liar. You're not getting a thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, keep it. Because God cannot bless because you're out of order. You're out of order. All you have to do is you got to learn how to put him first. Before I got saved, 1996, I started pastoring. First 13 years, back in 1983, I got saved. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you preaching that because, you know, church is where it's at and you try. No, I'm not. First 13 years, I won't pastoring, but I always tithe. Always, always. Was it challenging that time? Yes. Did we go through? See, that's why I'm not telling you when you tell everything is going to turn around just like that. It doesn't necessarily work like that. But God will always make way, and he will give you wisdom, and he will challenge you to see how you use the little. And when I showed him that I was faithful of the little, he began to increase me. And the more he increased me, I was faithful there, and he increased me some more. You don't get here overnight, but you will never get there when you rob. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I have never seen one ministry or one person that has prospered and they didn't tithe. It's just a principle. It's a principle. It's the word. And you can become theological and we can debate Old Testament, New Testament. See, we don't debate any of that when it comes to healing. To deliverance. Oh, that was in the old. That was in the new. Oh, that was in the... No. But when it comes to money, oh, that ain't in there. That won't over there. I don't see that. No debate there. No debate there. You ain't coming in. Well, Pastor, that healing was for the Old Testament. I don't see that in the new. We none of that debate. You know why? Because money is something, that love of money. Come on. It's the root of all evil. It will take you places. I mean, people are so liberal. You know, will give you prayer and pray for you. Give me some money. Oh, you know nothing. You better make your own way. I got me in mind. That's it. I'll pray for you. You want me to sing with you? No, I need some food. I ain't got that. You see? The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also. Let me stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to pick up next week. You got to stay on this series because we're going to bring some order and watch what God does. I know God is challenging some of you guys. I know he is. I know he is. And this is not to demean you. I don't know. I'm not looking at the books on the whole tithe thing other than our leadership. But whatever, all I want you to be, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. I want to be blessed. So I challenge myself. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to sow seed. You know why? Because I believe in the principles of God. And I know my soul. See, let me tell you something. I think this word is vitally important now. It is shaky out there now. I mean, I don't care what side of the, you know, of the politics you're on, whether you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care. It is shaky out there. I mean, and it's just not in our country. It's around the globe. And somewhere I read, when you hear about wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famines and evilness, all kind of just vile things going on. Come on, we can't have our faith in the world system. We've got to be rooted in the systems of the kingdom, because God's going to take care of his people. He's going to take care of his people. Come on, let's stand.